The Duty of Parents to Their Children. Sermon given at KO, Sunday, March 5th, 1893. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children who eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. The 10 days' test proved to the prince of the eunuchs that the simple diet was better for these captives than the king's meat. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. The habits of eating and drinking have much to do with the intellect. When Daniel was placed in the king's court, he did not reason, as many youth in this age of the world, that he would not have success if he did not do as the other youth of Babylon. This vain philosophy is the reasoning of many minds. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And the record states, As for these 4 children, the Lord gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel revealed in his life in Babylon the benefits of an early education in habits of self-control. Again and again in the Word of God, the importance of self-discipline is taught, and the terrible results accruing from self-indulgence illustrated. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, was taught this lesson in his youth. His parents were instructed by the angel, He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The greater portion of John's life was spent in the wilderness, that he might not be influenced by beholding the lax piety of the priests and rabbis, or by learning their maxims and traditions, through which right principles were perverted and belittled. It was John's choice to forego the enjoyments and luxuries of city life for the stern discipline of the wilderness. Here his surroundings were favorable to habits of simplicity and self-denial. Uninterrupted by the clamor of the world, he could here study the lessons of nature, of revelation, and of providence. The words of the angel to Zacharias had been often repeated to John by his God-fearing parents. From his childhood, his mission was kept before him, and he accepted the holy trust. To him, the solitude of the desert was a welcome escape from the society in which suspicion, unbelief, and impurity had become well-nigh all-pervading. He distrusted his own power to withstand temptation and shrank from constant contact with sin, lest he should lose the sense of its exceeding sinfulness.
The experience of Nadab and Abihu afford an example of self-indulgence and its results. The work of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, was to kindle the sacred fire in the tabernacle. In the sacred service, the common fire was not to be used. It was a law in Israel that those in sacred office should not touch wine nor strong drink, that they might do justice to the widow and the fatherless. But these men, disobeying the law, partook of the strong drink. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh men. Before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute for ever throughout your generations, and that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Parents have no right to bring children into the world to allow them to grow up without culture and Christian training. The work of coeducation in correct principles and habits should begin with the babe in its mother's arms. Religious instructions should be given the children from their earliest years. Sing to them the songs of Bethlehem. Through song, teach them the lessons of Christ and his love. Fathers and mothers should feel that they are responsible for the characters of their children. They are to teach them the lessons of self-control, that they are here to be governed, not to govern. With loving interest, they should teach them day by day what it means to be children of God, and to yield the will in obedience to him. Teach them that obedience to God involves obedience to their parents. Mothers and fathers, you are living in danger if you neglect your children. Every day there are lessons to be learned in the school of Christ. You must know that Christ is your helper and friend. Christ is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. If you ask, he will give you your request. Hang upon the merits of a crucified and risen Savior. The world is filled with corruption. Teach your children the precepts of God when they go out and when they come in, and God will bless you in doing so. Take each child and place him where the bright rays from the Sun of Righteousness shall shine into his soul. Do not let the rising generation be given over to the enemy. There are too many now living in disobedience to God's commandments. Teach them line upon line and precept upon precept. Tell them when sinners entice them to answer, No. Parents, what are you doing to improve the minds of your children? How many of you load your bookshelves with trashy novels? This kind of reading is unfitting you and them for future usefulness. It is weakening the brain powers. Satan has the control of those who give themselves to novel reading, and many do not know it. God commands you to make the most of your talents, every talent. It takes more than four walls to make a happy home. You are to remember that home is to be a sample of heaven. there must be no strife. Parents, never irritate your child. When fretting begins, the children can read it in the expression of gloom on your countenance. There should not be one word spoken to irritate the fine sensibilities of your children. Their character is worth more than gold. Everything connected with the home should be fragrant. You want their characters to be refined, for you are to fit them for the society of heaven. You need to learn at the cross of Christ. You are not to seek to reach the world standard, but you are to place your hand in the hand of Christ. It is gentleness and peace that we want in our homes. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in them that make peace.
Children are quick to follow the example of their parents. They will even try to imitate the tone of voice. What kind of example have you given your children? Has it been an example of self-control and self-discipline, or of worldliness and self-indulgence? Have you set them the example of tobacco and liquor using? This evil introduced into the system creates warfare and strife. There is no natural appetite for tobacco in the human system. It is either inherited and cultivated. This is shown by its effects on the system by the first attempt to smoke. Suppose we should impose this on you as one of God's ordinances. You would say that you wanted no such ordinance. With many, tobacco is their God, and when their tobacco is taken away, they cannot even pray a sincere prayer. The same is true of some who use liquor. God does not serve with man's sins. His law in ancient times declared that the judges should not take wine or strong drink. Today, judges as well as others do not heed the warning. The commandments of men are taught for the commandments of God, and the consciences of men are forced. Look at the liquor stores everywhere. Men sell to their fellow men that which steals the reason. Satan has the controlling power, and agony and distress are the result. The lawmaking powers give license to the sale of intoxicating drinks. How does the universe of heaven look upon these things? Do you think that men who do such things will not be weighted in the balances and found wanting? There is such a thing in this age as legal killing. No drunkard can enter the portals of glory. The Savior of the world gave his life to show the immutability of the law of God, and he will judge men by that law. If men paid respect to the Ten Commandments of God, there would not be the distress and misery we see in our land today. In many homes, the articles placed on the tables for food create this very thirst for intoxicating liquor. Parents, what are the youth before me going to be? We know not how many sit in legislative halls and councils. Educate and train them that they may have clear brains. Appetite has a controlling power upon men. Our first parents fell through intemperate appetite. Adam and Eve were permitted to eat all of the trees of the garden save one. Of that tree the Lord said, "In the day that ye eat of it, ye shall surely die." Satan came to Eve in Eden and told her that the Lord was restricting her knowledge. "Ye shall not surely die," he said. Eve was beguiled by the serpent to believe that the Lord would not do as he had said he would do. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast do done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Then was preached the first gospel sermon in the words spoken to the serpent by the Lord. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The law of God had been transgressed. It could not be changed to meet man in his fallen condition. Christ alone could rescue man from the power of the enemy. So he, the maker of the law, came to the world in the image of God and died that we might have eternal life.
Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 days and nights he fasted, and then he was tempted as no human being has ever been tempted.
You need not hunger here, Satan said. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread.
Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Finding himself baffled, Satan came to Christ on another point. Taking him to the holy city, he set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him,
If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
But Christ would not throw himself down, for Satan had put him there. He never asked God to work a miracle in his own behalf. Jesus said to Satan, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then Satan's last masterly effort was made. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him,
All these things will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind thee, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then Satan fled from the presence of Christ, for divinity flashed through humanity. The second Adam passed alone over the ground where the first Adam fell, redeeming his failure, and making it possible for every man and woman to overcome through Christ. I have trodden the winepress alone, he said, and of the people there was none with me. When the tempter left the Son of God, angels came and ministered unto him. Satan saw the angels of God coming upon the field. So the angels of God have the charge over us, and as God gave power to Christ, he will give it to us. He has 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of angels, waiting to fulfill his commandments. And are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister unto them that shall be heirs of salvation? Neither son nor daughter of Adam need go into iniquity. When Christ bowed in prayer on the banks of the Jordan, and a dove in appearance like burnished gold alighted upon the Son of God, a voice from heaven was heard saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What does this prayer mean to you? It means that you are accepted in the Beloved. When the Jews heard Christ deliver his sermon on the Mount, they thought that he was going to pass by the law, but on their astonished ears fell the words, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Christ fulfilled every specification of the law. It becometh us, he said on another occasion, to fulfill all righteousness. To abolish the law would have been to immortalize sin. There was nothing in the law that needed changing.
In all his teachings, Christ showed that the law takes hold of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We speak to you of Christ. Ask Isaiah who he is, and he will tell you. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase and government of his kingdom there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and judgment from henceforth. The time outlined by the figure of prophecy has nearly run out. We see its fulfillment in the condition of our world today. The terrible crimes printed in our newspapers, the fraud and debauchery and robbery. Church members use their religion as a cloak for their evil deeds. Parents, you may well ask today, what shall we do? We say, lead your children to Christ. Look to God and learn your lessons of Him. What hope have we for the race in its present condition? As the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came, and took the all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
The mystic ladder that Jacob saw represents Jesus Christ. Its base rested on the earth. Its topmost round reached the throne of infinity. Angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. It is our privilege to be partakers of the divine nature. We are not to fold our hands and wait in idle expectancy. God calls each one to stand at the post of duty. We need to follow the example of Daniel, who never wavered one line from principle. He was an active statesman, but he always found time to wait upon God. Would that we had more Daniels. Pages 366 to 376 missing.